Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Aaron Judge, I'm impressed. I mean, I am. I like him. I think he's good for the game. I'm not going to lie. I'm not a huge Yankees fan at all. And I like Aaron Judge. Something about him is, I don't know, there's something likable, isn't there?
I would agree.
He doesn't come off as arrogant at all. He comes off as a regular guy, I think, that's playing baseball, that's oversized, and he's got the ability to knock the ball out of the ballpark. Very much like a beer league softball player, except this guy gets to do it for – and I like the fact that he bet on himself with a contract going into this year. I like that. So, I don't – is 61 a big deal, Jeff?
It's pretty bold. Yeah, Andy, I do think it's a big deal. He has tied the American League record for home runs. That's pretty good, don't you think?
Well, yeah, why are we so infatuated? Excuse me. Why are we so infatuated with home run records?
Because
there are other records out there.
Yeah, this is the one a lot of folks have focused on for a very long time. It's easy,
sexy,
and it looked insurmountable.
Sexy. Yeah,
that was part of it. You know, Babe Ruth did it so long ago, it looked like something that was not going to be caught. And then when Roger Maris caught it, it wasn't caught again for decades. And that's really cool. I mean, it really is, I think. And that's one of the reasons that that's been the case. You know, Babe Ruth hit the 60 home runs in, 1927. And that record sat there until Roger Maris hit 61 in 1961. And then that record sat there until the summer of 1998.
I remember, you know, going back and thinking about the race with McGuire and Sosa. And I think when it was all said and done, I think sometimes we forget that Ken Griffey Jr. hit 56 in a season twice, 49, you know, and I don't think anyone ever questioned Ken Griffey Jr., did they?
Well, he didn't hit 60. He didn't approach history.
Well, I don't, 56 isn't approaching history? It's pretty close.
When 60, right, well, you know. To me, if you're really getting there, you're at 59, getting ready to hit 60, something like that. 60 is the magic number.
I think when everything came down and settled after that, I was like, oh, Griff seemed to do things right, and he gave us some great moments during those times too, but McGuire and Sosa got all the credit. I don't know, are we excited for Judge to hit 61 because, and by the way, is anyone going to pitch to him during the playoffs? I would walk him even when the bases loaded. I would just walk him every time. Is anyone going to throw a pitch to him in the playoffs? Would you?
Yeah, you might have to.
But,
you know.
I don't know. If bases are loaded, I'd walk him. I'd rather give up one. Looking at the averages of the rest of the guys in the Yankees. Wouldn't you? Menegan, would you? Would
you got to pitch to him with points, Andy. I mean,
do you?
You can't.
Menegan, do you?
I mean, if they're hitting him leadoff. So it's not exactly the best way you want to go leading off a game is to go four fingers and hand it to first base. I think he's one of those guys where he hardly sees a strike. He's gonna have to chase a little bit, but again, it's also the best of the best pitching as well. So you'll see some guys that'll definitely go after him. I think with him hitting leadoff, you have to.
I don't know. I don't. I wouldn't throw him. I would walk him every time. I don't care. Let my defense go do some work. You're gonna give up two runs. I mean, if he's gonna hit a home run, I would walk him every time. Like, wouldn't even think twice about it. Even if the bases were loaded, Who was it that trying to remember? Didn't there was a pitcher that never gave up a grand slam, right? Nah, who was it? It was trying to remember that. We just talked about this a couple weeks ago. Maybe it wasn't a grand slam. I got to think about it. I don't know, Jeff. So again, let me go back to the essence of this conversation. Is 61 a big deal, or is it Judge being a big deal, or is it baseball thinks home runs are a big deal?
All of the above. It's a big deal, Andy. New American League home run record if he hits one more. That's a big deal. And it's a magical mark. It is. And, you know, I know a lot of people want to say, okay, this is the real home run record if he hits 62. Except for one thing. When Bonds and McGuire and Sosa hit their home runs, steroids weren't outlawed.
True.
So, I think it stinks too. But, you know, what were the years, Dan? 2005, they started to ban something in the anabolic steroids, we looked up, and then 2011 they banned HGH, the human growth hormone.
Yeah, 2005 is when they banned steroids, HGH banned in 2011.
Yep. So there you go. They hit the home runs in 98, 99, 2001.
Eric is in Akron. Hi, Eric. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
So I don't even think the 61 home runs is the most impressive part about Judge.
What is it?
Like his bid for a triple crown.
That's cool.
It's unreal to me, and it's not even being talked about. I mean, it is a little bit, but like a triple crown, in my opinion, is way harder to get than 61 home runs.
Oh, I don't know about that. They're both great marks, Eric. There's no question about that. I think
for sure.
I think the fact that a guy is such a power hitter like he is, you know, and that he's still able to hit for average, that's really impressive. You know, that's
for sure.
Huge.
I'm not trying to minimize 61 home runs.
No, I know you're not.
Tremendous mark, but I just think the bid for the triple crown, last I looked, he was tied for batting average, and I think he was one behind on RBIs. If he gets that, I mean, that to me, that's unbelievable. And then to do it out of the one hole to be the late leadoff hitter and all this, that's just crazy to me.
I don't know. It is. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it. We have only had one American League Triple Crown winner since in the last 54 years. Cabrera. In 12.
That's right.
So then you got to go back to Yastrzemski in 67.
Oh yes. Yep.
And then what's weird is, I mean, you had a pretty good run there. Mantle did it in 56. Robinson did it in 66. Yastrzemski did it in 67. It's interesting to look at that. Like Ted Williams did it in 47 with 32 home runs. Man, he hit 343, 114 RBI. That's amazing. He hit 137 in 42. I look at these records. Jeff, is there anything else like record-wise that you look at and go, and we hold that up to the same standard as home runs?
In the sport of baseball, I don't know.
In baseball, yeah.
Because I was curious, and I thought about a couple of things. I'm a baseball geek, okay? Now, not like Menegan, okay? Menegan needs a slide rule to be a baseball geek.
Well, if you're a geek, what is he then?
Yeah, I know. He's a mega geek. But I thought, and you know, I could tell you who the home run leaders were, right? Barry Bonds, 73.
Sure.
Babe Ruth, 60. Roger Maris hit the 61. We know all that. And I thought, the best batting average ever in a single season. I had to look it up. I didn't know. Napoleon Lajoie, 1901, hit 426. I didn't know. And I thought, well, I should know that. But I didn't. I thought, well, that's something I should probably know. And that's not on the tip of your tongue if you're a baseball fan. And I thought, who had the most wins ever in a season? Well, you know, this is back when they had one pitcher who pitched like every day, it seemed. Charles Radbourne, Andy.
Who?
Won 60 games in that magical 1884 season. So wins don't matter, right? You didn't know, you did. But why don't we know? Well, because home runs are really cool. And those are a couple of things I thought. But the home run aspect of this, to me, there's only one record in sports, I think, that I think is cooler, and it doesn't get anywhere near the attention.
And?
Was Wilt Chamberlain averaging 50 points a game in an NBA season. That
has anyone come close?
That to me is no. That to me is just amazing. The only guy who came close is Wilt Chamberlain when he averaged 44.8. And then the next guy who came close was Wilt Chamberlain when he averaged 38.4. And then Elgin Baylor averaged 38.
You're
points
talking
a game.
Points, right? I just want to make
points
sure we're
per
talking.
Game.
Okay, because there's he's got other stats out there. I'm just not sure.
I don't think Elgin Baylor was on that other list.
He wasn't? Okay, I just want to make sure.
But, you know, nobody's come close to that. And then you could say, all right, well, that was a different era in the game and blah, 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 blah. In other words, just like Babe Ruth. Wilt Chamberlain was kind of the Babe Ruth of basketball. And he set a mark that people thought would never be surpassed.
With no three-point line?
With no three-point line.
I mean, that's the other part of it that's crazy.
Right. And it wasn't his game, but it, you know, obviously didn't matter. But
every big guy in the world wants to get out there and shoot now.
I mean, imagine that. If somebody now has a 50-point game, don't we make it a big deal?
It's gigantic.
Yeah. He averaged 50 points a game. To me, that's even more impressive than when Babe Ruth hit 60 back when guys didn't hit home runs because people haven't come close.
What do we got? Let's take a phone call. Mike is in Cleveland. Hi, Mike. How are you?
How's it going, fellas?
Good, Mike, it's going good.
The last caller, I did want to touch upon the Triple Crown thing, which is, I think the last guy to do it was Miguel Cabrera, right?
Yeah, 12, yep.
Yeah, yeah. And now there's talk about the, you know, the MVP race and whatnot. And a couple weeks ago, I was at the game when they played the Angels, and I heard all this talk about Ohtani being the most valuable player because he can pitch and he can play and hit. But, I mean, would that not be the most valuable player on his team? But then they're not even in the playoffs, you know? So I just don't understand how
should
you
Joe
can
Thomas
take
be in
away
the Hall of Fame? Should Joe Thomas be in the Football Hall? Should Joe Thomas be in the Football Hall of Fame?
I would say so, yeah.
Okay, so what's the difference between that and Ohtani?
Well, no, he's not the MVP for the year.
Oh, I thought you were saying – okay, I thought you said something else. But still, I
– No.
I don't know, man. It's still pretty impressive that at a major league level you can do pitch and hit and do all those things. I mean,
I can completely agree with that. But your team isn't winning.
I see your point. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. All right, let's roll on with this. We'll talk a little bit more. I mean, should 61 be a big deal? Should it be? And why are we so enamored with home runs?
Why wouldn't it be?
216-578-0092, Baskin and Phelps.
All right, a little bit of news from our own Daryl Ryder from the Ohio State Highway Patrol. Browns defensive end Miles Garrett was issued a citation for failure to control his motor vehicle. Unsafe speed for the type of roadway being traveled appeared to be a contributing circumstance related to Monday's accident. So Miles Garrett was cited for failure to control his vehicle. Unsafe speed for the type of roadway being traveled appeared to be a contributing circumstance.
And I know I might, I want to make sure I didn't miss this. Because I heard you, Jeff, you were saying it, that he was swerving to get out of the way of an animal.
No, I thought it was reported. That was
by
Tom Pelissero.
Oh, Tom Pelissero said that. Okay, so failure to control is pretty common, isn't it? I mean, anytime there's an accident, it doesn't really matter. Failure to control is a pretty common ticket.
Yeah.
If you have but the other one was unsafe speed. Unsafe speed at what? What was the official line?
Unsafe speed for the type of roadway being traveled appeared to be a contributing circumstance. That is according to the Ohio State Highway Patrol.
The road that he was driving is a
windy or no?
No, it was State Road in Medina County. In that part of State Road, and it's a hilly, windy road. But on that part of State Road, my dad was born and raised in Medina County, and I'm familiar with that area. It was straight, but the speed limits out there are higher than you would think. So it's like 50. I think it's a 50-mile-an-hour speed limit area.
And then the State Highway Patrol said it was an unsafe speed. So
and it's a the two-lane types of roads.
Yeah,
where they.
Yeah.
Country.
Yep.
A lot of, tar and stones, mm-hmm. that type of stuff. But, you know, what does unsafe mean
I don't know.
In the eyes of the highway patrol? Could it mean 60 on something like that? Yeah, probably could.
I guess, but anything over 50, if 50 was the speed limit there, right?
Look,
you could say 51's unsafe.
A lot of things have come out about Miles' past driving record and all that. I don't know what he was speeding on this. None of us do, because they didn't tell us and they didn't clock him. So, you know, I'm sure they could come up with some thoughts on what he might have been, and you know, through technology.
I
don't know.
I'll tell you this. I've got just a regular Ford, and I went to go get it serviced last week, and they told me every moment that a light went on in the car and what was going on.
Because of the computer systems?
Yeah,
in the car.
And we're talking about, you know, just standard Ford. I'm sure that I'm sure there's a computer that can tell you exactly how fast he was going.
Porsche knows what they're doing when it comes to computers and cars.
I think so. I saw something about that.
Look, I hope he's safe and all that. If that report is true,
right.
If a deer jumped in the car, you really got a story.
That's
if it jumped in front of the car, and you're going 45 on that road, and you swerve to miss it, and it's wet, you will roll your car. If you're in a little sports car like that, I'm sure.
Sure.
If he was going 45, if he was going under the speed limit. So let's keep that in mind. If he swerved to avoid hitting something, I don't know that it mattered a whole heck of a lot what speed he was going, because you're going to roll it. And
well,
if he's going a little
faster,
faster
you're going, the more rolls you're going to get.
Well,
right?
Sure.
So,
but still, Andy, it's, you know.
I don't know. I mean, the reports yesterday about.
Have you ever hit a deer?
No.
Add this in as well, real quick, guys. Jake Trotter, ESPN. According to the crash report, Garrett was driving 65 in a 45. After leaving the road, his vehicle struck a ditch and then a fire hydrant before overturning several times prior to coming to a rest, per the Ohio State Highway Patrol.
They're saying 65?
65 and a 45.
Most of those roads out there are anywhere from at least 45. Many of them have 50-mile-an-hour speed limits.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that 60. I mean, the story yesterday about, you know, getting in trouble before about driving over 100 is a little silly. Like, it's not silly. It's dangerous.
Well, sure, but that wasn't this case.
No, I know, but it's also, I mean, people look at
a pattern.
Yeah. So, and I look, yeah, again, if he was doing 65 in a 45 and he had, obviously and I'm not a physics major, nor did I don't even know if I ever took physics, but
you hit
the ditch and then you hit a fire hydrant.
Well, it's all, you're done. I mean,
yeah,
the minute you swerve and overcorrect, you're done. Look, I consider myself a very safe driver.
You are a safe driver.
Okay.
I've driven behind.
I once received two speeding tickets in the same day.
You did?
Uh-huh.
Were you doing over 100 on either one of those?
I was going 41 each time.
In a 20?
In a 25.
Were the yellow lights for the school flashing?
No.
All right.
It just, you know, it was one of those. And so stuff happens. And I just didn't even think. But I was going 41. I've never had a speeding ticket in my life for going like on a highway, ever. And that's just because I don't drive that fast.
All I know is I got a nasty grant from my general manager when I was working at Columbus because we were in a news vehicle.
Oh, that's never good.
And it was 65. I think I was doing 75 coming up for opening day.
Yeah, that's not good.
Maybe 76. And got a ticket.
Marked car.
I was talking about it on the radio down there when I was doing radio there. And man, somebody heard me and they sent an email to my boss. And man, it was a meeting. And it was like, hey, I was just going with the flow of traffic. I mean, I probably was.
Look,
and because I my kids hate driving with me. I don't have a lead foot at all.
The thought,
it's funny, after we had kids, I noticed there were speed signs all over the place.
Yeah.
Weird.
Let's just hope that Miles is okay. You know, that there are no long-term injuries for Miles or his passenger. And I hope, based on what we've since learned about his previous driving record, that he slows down a little bit. And that road, and I know right where he was, that's too fast for that road. And I hope he slows down a little bit.
Yeah, I was bothered yesterday when I saw the 100 going over 100. I just, like, there's just no reason for that. Is there? Those people, it's not about the person who's driving 100. It's about everybody else. It's about everybody. It's not, you want to, you know, play roulette with your own life, it's on you. But it's the people who are in, or, you know, end up getting tagged by somebody who's doing over 100 on the freeway or something, or even anywhere else. I mean, you know, have a little courtesy. You know what I'm saying? Let's go to Ray in Garfield Heights real quick. Hey, Ray.
Hey, fellas. As far as Myles Garrett goes, he doesn't, you know, deserve to get hurt or anything. I'm not saying that. I drive tractor trailer, been doing it for well over 30 years, and people drive terribly. I mean, speeding, whipping in and out of traffic, showing off. 65 and a 45, that's 20 miles over. That's reckless off. And some of the past things, 120 miles an hour, if you guys got caught doing that, you'd lose your license for a year, maybe more. And that kind of fine is really stiff. For him, it probably wasn't a whole lot. But when they had the players-only meeting, if I remember correctly, he was asked, what did you guys talk about? And he said, fast cars and pretty women, if I'm correct on that. So there you go. He's out joyriding in a fast car.
Well, we don't know what he was doing. We don't know why he was driving from point A to point B. But thank you, Ray. I appreciate that. The message here, no matter, you know, it doesn't matter if it's Myles Garrett or anybody else. There's just no reason to. You know, on the past stuff, there's no reason to be doing 100 miles an hour. There just isn't. If you want to, go buy a race car and go be a race car driver.
The area where he was driving, the only concern, Andy, out there is, you know, the roads aren't designed for high speeds. And there are animals all over the place.
Yeah, there are.
And unfortunately, that's the way it is all across Northeast Ohio now. It's not just in rural areas. I was driving somewhere the other day. And it was a little 25-mile-an-hour speed limit area heading into, like, a shopping district. And there's a deer standing on the side of the road, you know, like on between the sidewalk and the road, right? There's a grass area.
Mm-hmm.
Deer is just hanging out there. They've become very comfortable in our habitat.
It's true.
And it's like he's, like, just looking at you. And the fear is, okay, he can sit there and look at you. That's just fine. But the minute they freak out and bolt, I was going like 22 because it's a 25-mile-an-hour speed limit, and there are people walking and everything else, so I'm really going slow. And I know the police patrol that area. Even at 22, if that thing bolts in front of me, I'm going to hit it.
Yeah, I just, you know what? You brought this up a long time ago. I just don't remember this many deer. When I was a kid.
They weren't here. They weren't here.
It's the deer and the black squirrels that have taken over in our lifetime.
I have a deer thing. I love deer.
Yeah, I know. That was weird. I
really do.
You take pictures
of the
deer?
It goes back to my childhood where we vacationed all the time, and we used to call it deer hunting. It's now illegal. It's spotting. You'd go out at night with a flat, you know, like a spotlight and spot deer.
That's illegal?
It is now, yeah.
To go look at deer? That's illegal?
Yeah, to go look at deer at night. It's weird.
Really?
Yeah.
Where?
In Pennsylvania.
Wow.
And so we used to do that, and I just thought it was great. And now there are deer all over the place. But, you know, in rural areas especially, you've just got to be so careful, man.
We will hear from the Browns coming up in the next hour of Baskin and Phelps, and we're going to make Jeff Thomas do it next right here. Baskin and Phelps, 216-578-0092.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.